Okay, if you want to grab the Bibles that are in the back of your chairs, should be in the back of your chairs. If you haven't got a Bible, just put your hand up and someone will be able to get you a Bible. Turn, as Mike has said, to the book of Proverbs, which is in the Old Testament and is on page 652. Well, the proverb we're going to look at is on page 652. That would be Proverbs 17. Let's just pray before we come and look at this together. Lord, we just pray now as we come to your word, and that it may touch our hearts, touch our lives, change the way we think, change the way we act. Pray for your Holy Spirit to give enlightenment. Pray that our minds and hearts would be open to receive your truth and your wisdom. And thank you for giving us your word to teach, instruct us, and change us in our everyday lives. So may it have its way now, and may we come to it humbly and come under its authority now, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, throughout August here, and actually just we're going to finish it next week, we're in the wisdom literature in the Bible, Psalms and Proverbs, and I'm going to look at a few Proverbs today, as Mike said, just around the area of receiving rebuke, because the Proverbs has got a lot to say about that. I'm sure many of us are really familiar with Proverbs as we grow up. They're in every culture, and in every time, cultures produce Proverbs. We've got our own Proverbs, which aren't in the Bible. I think sometimes people quote a proverb and look and go, is that in the Bible? And like, you have to look it up. Like, a stitch in time, that's not in the Bible, okay? A bird in the hand is... That's right, that's not in the Bible. Too many cooks. That's right, that's not in the Bible. Red sky at night. Well, actually, red sky at night, the modern one is Tesco's on fire, because if you think about it, we would never ever think about shepherds in the middle of London. Where there's a will, there's lots of distant relatives. That's one that you need to remember. So you can take some of these proverbs and change them around a bit. But anyway, here's a very good ancient proverb about learning, which I think is very good. Again, this isn't from the Bible, but I think is a good proverb. It's this: I hear and I forget. I see, I remember. I do, I understand. Say that again. I hear, I forget. I see, I remember. I do, I understand. Now, I thought that one was great and very profound until I remembered I was actually preparing a talk. So to proclaim I hear, I forget hardly endorses sort of what I'm doing here, but I'm asking you not to forget what I'm going to be saying this morning. There is a Chinese proverb that says the man who speaks for a long time lacks intelligence, which was obviously written by someone who had endured too many long sermons. Israel collected its wise sayings and put them in the book, which they called Proverbs. They're easy to read. You needn't worry about the historical context like in other parts of the Old Testament. They were written over a long period of time, but they're wise sayings that apply to any of us at any time. And as we read them, what we need to do is to think. We need to think about how we can apply these wise sayings to our own lives. Remember, they are proverbs rather than commands or promises. And I believe this is good to go into the book of Proverbs, because they help us to make responsible, fruitful choices in life. They are, one of the good definitions I read about Proverbs is they're godly common sense. Godly common sense. So we need to listen, we need to take heed, we need to think. As someone wise once said, if God had intended us to think, he would have given us brains. So let's look this morning, let's listen, And most importantly, let's act on what we hear. Remember the last line of that ancient proverb, I do, when I do it, I understand. So let's try and apply that to the word of God. Let's do it, and then we'll understand why it's God's word and it's God's truth, and it makes godly common sense. Let me ask you then, before we look at some of these proverbs, a very down-to-earth question, one which I think has quite a bearing on how we live our lives. How do you handle criticism? Can you take a rebuke and recognise that in receiving that rebuke, it may lead to something potentially very positive in your life? According to the book of Proverbs, how we handle criticism, whether we can accept a rebuke when it comes to us, says actually a lot about our hearts and actually whether we're growing in spiritual maturity. It's actually an indicator as to whether we're among the wise or we're among the foolish. And there are two groups that you get in Proverbs all the time, the wise and the foolish. Now, I'm presuming that all of us here this morning desire wisdom. So let's come openly and humbly to some of these proverbs with teachable hearts and minds. And on this theme of receiving, accepting a rebuke, what I'm going to do, I'm going to select a few proverbs for us to think about. I'm going to begin with one in Proverbs 17, which is at verse 10. And let me read it to you. You should have it there, 652. Proverbs 17, verse 10 says this. A rebuke impresses a man of discernment more than 100 lashes a fool. Think about that. A rebuke impresses a man of discernment more than 100 lashes a fool. What the writer of the Proverbs is saying there is this. If you give a fool, someone who's a fool, 100 lashes, it won't necessarily change the way that person thinks and behaves. But one rebuke could change someone who is wise, because if there is a truth in it, it will make that person stop and think. And even though receiving a rebuke may be painful, and initially, I'm sure, unwelcome. No one really welcomes getting rebuked. What the writer is saying is it may prove to be really fruitful in our lives. It may actually prove to be life-changing. But it's hard teaching. But this proverb is not an isolated one on the subject of rebuke. Just listen to some more. I didn't think we'd want to have a big paper chase, so I'm just going to read you two or three other proverbs about rebuke out, and just listen to them while keeping this one in verse 17, in chapter 17 in mind. Proverbs 3, verse 11 says this, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent a rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those who he loves. Proverbs 9, verse 7. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker, or he will hate you, but rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. So if you're wise and you get a rebuke, you should love the person. Stands it on its head a bit, isn't it? If you go to a mocker and you give them a rebuke, they'll hate you for it. Proverbs 15, verse 31. He who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. Interesting there. A rebuke is described as life-giving. And finally, Proverbs 25, verse 12. Like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. I could go on, there are more there, but you can just see from those that there's a lot the proverb says about how we should receive a rebuke. And I think they are remarkable proverbs. In our culture, in the way of the world, I think this is an astonishing way of thinking. Words like rebuke and discipline usually have a very negative ring, don't they? But here, in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs and elsewhere, it says it can actually be a very positive thing. More than that, it can be life-changing. Now, I have to say, it's much easier standing here speaking than it is preparing these sort of talks and really thinking about it. I've got to be honest with you. When I get a rebuke, my immediate response is to feel that my value is being diminished. That is my immediate response. I feel threatened, and my reaction is to defend myself. Or I listen to it, go away, get angry, and start sulking. Am I on my own with that one? So in preparing this, I realised that I need to take these proverbs to heart. For they tell me that this reaction, going away, getting angry, sulking, is not a wise one and it's not a mature one. These proverbs tell me a rebuke can actually be a point of growth and not a cue just to go off in a huff. I realise it's down to how I respond what actually I've been challenged about. So let's think about what is the proper way to respond. I don't know how often you get a rebuke off of someone. But if you get one this week, or you're sitting there and you've had one in the last week, what is the proper way to respond? Well, one thing we all have in common is that we all need to learn. Is that not true? None of us here this morning has arrived when it comes to knowledge and wisdom and our character. None of us here are fully developed. Now, the difference between a wise person and a foolish person is not actually that one has plenty to learn and the other one has got nothing to learn. No. The difference is that one person wants to learn, is humble enough that they admit that they need to learn more, and the other person, the foolish person, in their pride and arrogance, think that they know enough already. In other words, they become unteachable, unchallengeable, if you like. And I think whether we grow wise or actually stay a fool is down to whether we have a humble or whether we have a proud attitude. Especially when we're challenged in some way about the way we're living. I love the prayer of David in Psalm 139. This is a prayer that he wrote. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me into the way everlasting. David comes to God and he's saying to God, test me. Show me if there's anything here that needs to change. Show me if there's any offensive way in which I live. It's a very honest prayer. And it's one that I don't think we can really sort of say lightly. So the next question is this. How can we receive a rebuke without being crushed by it? What attitude, if you like, do we need to receive it? So ultimately, it will prove to be fruitful and constructive for us. Now, it doesn't mean this. It doesn't mean we become really masochistic and, say to someone, go on, tell me something else that proves I'm a complete failure, I'm such a terrible person. That's not the right attitude. Instead, I think this is so important, we need to have an attitude that treats sin seriously. An attitude and an outlook where we acknowledge that in all of us, there is folly. There is this bias that we've got within us towards sin and rebellion. If we really believe this about ourselves and we recognise that in ourselves we have got this bias and we do move in that direction so easily, then we will treat a rebuke seriously because we realise that we so easily fall. We realise we so easily go in the wrong direction. And there is always one thing I think about sin that we need to be aware of, and it's this. It is always so deceptive. We always see sin and foolishness clearly in other people, but we're not very good at seeing it within ourselves. And the fact is this, we are actually foolish if we think we can never fall. That somehow we're beyond making a mistake, even big mistakes in our lives. David, who wrote Psalm 139, an amazing, beautiful psalm, knew what it was to fall because he fell into sin, because that was the nature of his heart. And Paul the Apostle summed it up when he wrote this to the church in Corinth. And his very simple line, I think this is something we all must, in a sense, embrace. Whoever thinks they are standing firm had better be careful that they do not fall. So if you're sitting there thinking this morning, I'm fine, I don't need any rebuke, no one should tell me what to do because I'm fine, it's actually spiritually quite a dangerous place to be in. We're often at our most vulnerable when we think we are strong. An awareness of our weakness is actually a spiritual strength. That much used phrase, we all make mistakes, is true, I know, but one thing we can't do is we can't use it as an excuse. I think that phrase, we all make mistakes, is, if we take it on board, is there to underline that we need to listen if someone is trying to point out somewhere that we're going wrong in our lives. But doesn't it take self-control to sit and listen? It may be tough for some of us to listen rather than speak. But in the world of Proverbs, the wise person always listens more than they speak. That's really struck me looking at these. I don't know about you, but again, if someone starts talking and they maybe get on something I feel touchy about, my reaction is to jump in and to get going, get the mouth moving. But in the world of Proverbs, it says you do well, you do very well to listen. So listen carefully now to some of these problems. They're all about the relationship between listening and talking. Proverbs 13, verse 3. He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of the fool always seems right to him, but a wise man will listen to advice. Proverbs 18, verse 2. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but always delights in airing his own opinions. Don't be like the fool. Don't have closed ears, a closed mind, but a continually open mouth. That's what Proverbs says to us. In the book of Proverbs, a great theme is this, that relationships are to be valued. They're always more important than any material things. Relationships matter more than status or our achievements. And we have to ask this question, is anything in life more important than relationships? Our relationship with God, our relationship with each other. Something so valuable always has to be handled very carefully. And as we read through the book of Proverbs, we meet many characters. You meet the wise person, you meet the foolish person. You meet the lazy person, you meet the one who works hard. You meet all sorts of people. But another character you meet who we need to aim at is the faithful friend. And there are lots of proverbs that underline the qualities of a faithful friend. We're told, for instance, not to be hostile or aggressive in our relationships. We're told to watch our tongues and not use words that can pierce and destroy people. But there's one proverb about friendship that really relates to what we've been thinking about this morning, and I think it's a very powerful proverb, and I want us to finish this time by just focusing on this one. So hopefully you're still with me. Proverbs 27. Just go over to Proverbs 27. It's on page 663 or 662. Let's, in light of what we've been hearing about taking rebukes and listening, let me just read you Proverbs 27, verse 5 and 6. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Part of friendship something that we're called to within the body of Christ, that we should be true, faithful friends to each other, is to be trustworthy, is to be compassionate, is to be faithful. But we're reminded here that part of friendship may involve a rebuke. If someone who we love, we perceive to be making wrong choices, a big mistake, it is very hard, isn't it, to go up and maybe talk to that person and point it out. But is it not the loving thing to do? And if words are said in love, and if the person speaking to us knows us, loves us, and we respect their wisdom, we always need to listen. Why? Well, it says here, wounds from a friend can be trusted. Even though it hurts, they can still be trusted. And if it can help us in the long run, the fact that it is painful does not necessarily mean that it's not loving or right or the fruitful thing for us. But we're given a warning here as well. Beware of kisses from an enemy. In other words, people may come, they may flatter us, they may help us feel nice, but will that help us? Will that help us to grow in wisdom and godliness and spiritual maturity? And remember this, who we listen to is one of the most important choices we make in life. Say that again, who we actually listen to is one of the most important choices we make. I just want to underline something to finish. This is a balance. This teaching about getting wise through rebuke is not a license to go around and start pointing out the faults of everyone that you meet, or to criticise insensitively or unjustly. That can be destructive and bring division. But as we're instructed in the New Testament, what we're told to do is to speak the truth in love. And when we do that, we will grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. How are we to become wise and mature, which is God's will for us all this morning? Well, what we have to do, we have to combine both truth and love. That will build us up, and it will also build others up who we're with as well, and we must always hold them together. If it's all truth and no love, then it's easy to become judgmental, insensitive, hard-hearted, and loveless religion is always a dangerous combination. But if it's all love and no truth, there's no foundation for us to build on. If you like, there's no anchor to hold us. We get tossed back and forth by all the different teachings that there are, and we begin to tolerate things that we shouldn't. Truth is always softened by love. Love is always underpinned and strengthened by the truth. In working on both, that is how we mature. And actually, it's the way that unity can properly grow among us. So speaking the truth in love means being sensitive, it means being wise, it means being gracious, as well as times when it's appropriate, it does mean being challenging. And that's how we can show love to one another. In John's Gospel, Jesus is described as being full of grace and truth. And ultimately, that is what we aim for, isn't it? That we want to follow his example. We're to learn from how he lived. We're to learn from how he acted. We're to learn from how he spoke. And we're to come to him and ask him to use our lips and our actions and our attitude so that we will positively touch people's lives around us and be committed to see us all grow in godliness and Christlikeness. So we need to come to him and ask him to give us wisdom. We need to keep coming and ask him to guard us from having a foolish heart and having a foolish attitude. Stop and listen to what he says to us. And of course, don't just listen, but act on what we hear and respond. Let's just pause for a moment. Here's just some verses from the New Testament, from the book of James. It says this: if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given. And then it says this: take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Lord, I pray that you'll help us when we're faced with difficulties, when we need guidance, when we need clarity. We ask that as we come to you, you would give us wisdom. You'd guard us against taking what may be the easy way but is the wrong way. Help us to listen, and help us also to speak words of life and love to others. And we ask that you'll give us your spirit in our hearts, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of peace, joy, and self-control. Amen.
Amen.